Hi there, and welcome to Voyage. For mercy, October's just chugging along. It's almost Halloween. The station here is all covered with all skeletons and spiders on the audio board and all sorts of horrible things here. It must be getting close to Halloween. My name's Keith Black, and as always on Wednesday morning, what you're going to hear is some of the best in the world of jazz for the next 3 hours. Not spooky at all, just a good outline of the immense variety that makes up the current jazz scene. And I need to just comment just before the show gets going that a couple of days ago, I just heard yesterday, the death of another of the masters, if you will. Drummer Jack DeJohnette died a couple of days ago at about 83 years old. DeJohnette, a wonderful drummer, drummed with just about everybody and from Miles to whatever. And next week's historical segment will clearly reflect some thoughts on DeJohnette's career. I had this show already put together, so I couldn't do it today, but there will be a DeJohnette segment next week on the show. A sad death. He was in his 80s, but what an incredible contributor to the world of jazz. And it's interesting, a couple of weeks ago, my historical segment was the Bill Evans Trio from the Montreux Jazz Festival. And Jack DeJohnette was on drums in that trio and on that gig all those years ago in Montreux. So you have heard DeJohnette off and on since this show started. And next week I will do a tribute to him. To sad death, another one of the masters no longer with us. But there are young masters still with us, and they need to gain recognition and more airtime. And I'm going to try and do some of that for the next 3 hours. Here's a brief rundown of the playlist, and then I'll go back and do things in greater detail. First up will be saxophonist James Brandon Lewis from a recent album of his. And then an album that I wrote a review in the Free Press that came out last week, a remarkable duet album with pianist Satoko Fuji and her partner Natsuki Tamura. From an album that I think is just wonderful, and I will be sampling that a second in the line today. Then a brand new album with vibraphonist Patricia Brennan, always interesting, and with melodic and accessible music in the adventurous side of the bell curve as well. Following that will be my historical segment, and it's I've mentioned before, my historical segment gets chosen sometimes by the most ridiculous or unusual situations. I was working on a crossword puzzle last week, I guess, and one of the clues, the answer to one of the clues was Carmen McRae, singer Carmen McRae, and it triggered in my mind the fact that I hadn't played one of my very favorite albums by Carmen McRae for, many, many, long time. So my historical segment today will be Carmen McRae's album, Carmen Sings Monk. And it's just a terrific album. And if you can stay tuned, it's just is absolutely worth just the morning itself. Following that historical segment with Carmen McRae will be drummer Andrew Cyril. Then pianist Jeremy Ledbetter, a Canadian. And then alto player John O'Gallagher, not a name that I was totally familiar with, embarrassingly, but he has a very interesting new album out, and I will be sampling that later on. And then an interesting album co-led by another alto player, David Binney, and drummer Tommy Crane from Montreal. And it's called The Isle, and that's ISLE, and it refers to the island of Montreal. That will be near the end of the show, and then whatever time is left will be drummer Phil Haynes with a very quirky new album called Free Country, and that title is quite meaningful, and I'll talk a bit about more when I get there. But moving back to the top of the order now, James Brandon Lewis has had some amazing releases over the last few years, a lot of concept albums that have been very, very fine. One, a jazz meditation on George Washington Carver, and thoughts about the background of realities in the United States, and some amazing work on his part with all sorts of interesting things. This latest album is a trio album, and it has longtime collaborators Josh Werner on guitar and bass, and drummer Mbira player Chad Taylor. The album provides inspiration here by the poet and activist and author Amira Bakara and trumpeter Don Cherry. The album title, which is called Apple Cores, reflects the name of Bakara's Downbeat column, the Downbeat magazine column in the late 1980s. Don Cherry looms even larger as his aesthetic spirit offers guidance here, end quote. That's from the notes. And Amira Bakara was originally known as Leroy Jones, a poet, activist, and author. But his legacy is under the name Amira Bakara. There's a long explanation for the album called Apple Cores with the trio led by saxophonist James Brandon Lewis and with Josh Werner and Chad Taylor. Here's a set from that album. The first one is sort of a interlude every now and then through the album. They have Apple Cores 1, Apple Cores 2, etc. This is Apple Core number 2, just runs a couple of minutes. And then Remember Brooklyn and Moti, and then Broken Shadows. Here is James Brandon Lewis. Thank you. Saxophonist James Brandon Lewis and his trio there with a set from a recent album. I think it was maybe almost a year old now. I don't know, a little less perhaps, called Apple Cores. And always creative. That it is. He has a wonderful talent and has wide-ranging interests, and his music frequently is placed in historical perspective as he pays tribute to classical figures in the African-American world. Great stuff there. And you're listening to Voyage on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name is Keith Black. Jazz between 10 and 1 live here on Wednesdays. Streamed live and archived at CKUW.ca. Well, moving on now to an album that I just find wonderfully beautiful. It's, as I mentioned in my review in the paper, a bit of a surprise. It's a duet album with pianist Satoko Fuji and Natsuki Tamura, who is her partner husband. Have worked together for a long time, and Fuji is incredibly prolific and has worked on everything from solo piano albums to large ensembles with all sorts of groups and small groups in between. And very, very edgy at times, very powerful music, and adventurous in a very good sense. This surprise is that these two have come up with an album that has absolute melodic beauty. Not to say that the harmonies are all sort of conventional and sort of middle of the road, because they absolutely are not. But they are meditative and take their time to unfold. And it is just a stunningly beautiful album in the jazz world. You can tell that I'm a fan here, right? The album title is Ki, K-I, which in Japanese apparently is sort of a wide-ranging, depending on its context, of life, soul, life spirit, life force, all those sorts of things that determine our relationship to our universe and to each other. Wonderful album, and I will try not to gush too much about it here. I have a friend who I really respect highly, who has said that she is having some difficulty to get to the point of feeling all that great and understanding it as I would have her do. And I want to talk to her more about that. But it tells me that obviously the hearing is functionally perceptive, I think, is the psychological term. But I digress. Here are three tracks from Ki, with pianist Satoko Fuji and Natsui Tamura. I can mention that the title will necessarily mean anything. They are Arakashi, Icho, and Kunugi, which apparently are all the Japanese titles of trees. Here is Fuji and Tamura. Thank you.
Thank you.
pianist Satoko Fuji and trumpeter Natsuki Tamura from their new album called Ki, K-I. And as I mentioned in the intro, there's some absolutely wonderful playing there. And these two, as they are a couple, they know each other very well, and they're playing together over the years. They just sort of like are one mind, and it shows in their music. Great stuff there. And it's now 10:50 Central. It's still daylight time. You get an extra hour of sleep this weekend, so don't forget to change your clocks if indeed they need changing. It's always interesting now because half the clocks are the timing devices in our place change automatically, and I couldn't change them even if I wanted to. But there's still a couple of things like, you know, bedside timers and stuff that need looking at. So don't let that go by on Saturday night. You get an extra hour of sleep, so you can decide whether or not you want to take advantage of that. Moving on to a very fine, brand new album with vibraphonist Patricia Brennan. It's called Of the Near and Far, and it's sort of interesting because it is a concept album in a way, although it's not really noticeable in that regard, I suppose. Well, I shouldn't say that so quickly. It talks about the cosmos and the stars out there and the universe and all the things that she's fascinated by in the skies. And the Of the Near and Far very clearly refers specifically to things near and things far. And it shows in the music. I was talking to my friend Maurice Hoag yesterday. Mo used to have a show here and is an incredibly knowledgeable jazz person. We were talking about this album, and I said that there are a couple of the tracks that could sort of be very hip soundtrack to a space movie of some kind, because they do have that sort of ethereal feel to them. But it's really, really neat stuff. It is sort of accessible, modern, if you will. Like it's not conventional harmonies or anything else, but it is accessible. And along with Brennan, she has a large ensemble here. She has Sylvie Courvoisier on piano. That's great. Miles Okazaki on guitar. Bassist Kim Cass. Drummer John Hollenbeck. And they are complemented by violinist Maudney and Paula Garcia. And a violist, Kyle Armbrust. And cellist Michael Nicholas. As well as the electronic musician Arcturier. So you can tell it's got all sorts of devices and electronic sounds and loops and stuff like that as well. But it's really neat stuff. From the Near and Far, Of the Near and Far, from Patricia Brennan. Here are two tracks. The first one is called Antlia, and the second is Aquarius. There you go. And the stars.